Mark chapter 16, the resurrection. So after all that tragedy of poor Jesus with blood all over him, from the crown of thorns and being whipped and then dying in agony, now we come to what he said would happen after 3 days. Now when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early on the first day of the week, when the sun was risen, they went to the tomb. And they were talking among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" You remember, it was a very big stone. And looking up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled aside. A simple lesson there, that don't worry about things in advance, because actually when you come to the problem, you might find that God has already shifted it. But more than that, we have to remember that Jesus had been very clear that after 3 days he would rise again. And there they were going there after 3 days to anoint his body. Well, if they had really listened to him, they would have been going there expecting that actually he wouldn't be there. So you see how slow they were to understand. And this is an encouragement to us if we think that we are so slow to understand and slow to be obedient to the most clear statements of Jesus. Well, so were the disciples. Entering into the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were frightened. Now, who do you think that young man in white clothing was?
Jesus.
Who else might it have been?
It might have been an angel.
An angel. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, the man from Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." So the angel would have showed the women the place where he'd been laid, and the grave clothes all wrapped up, as John says. "Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes ahead of you into Galilee." And of course the angel wanted the women to go and tell Peter in particular, because Peter had denied Jesus, and they didn't want Peter to think that, oh, it's all over now. They wanted him to realize, the angels wanted Peter to realize that, no, God still had a place for him. So again, it's an encouragement that no matter how far we may get away from Jesus or how far we sin, then there's always this way back. So the women went out and ran from the tomb, but trembling and fear came upon them, and they didn't say anything to anyone. Whenever people are told to go and tell the good news of the resurrection, there's always some sort of barrier, unfortunately, even at the end when Jesus says, "Go into all the world and tell everybody." Well, the apostles in the first century, first of all, decided that no, that just means go and tell the Jews. And when people like Paul started to baptize Gentiles, people who weren't Jews, there was all sorts of trouble. So we mustn't be resistant to it. We should go and tell everybody and not continue this theme, as it were, of people refusing to do what Jesus and the angels had told them to do. Risen from the dead, early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he'd cast out 7 demons. Now, to cast out demons was language that they used for curing mental illness. So this woman had had 7 demons. She had been really, really mentally disturbed, but she'd been cured. And the Bible also seems to imply, or the Gospels seem to imply, that Mary Magdalene had not lived a very good life before she met Jesus. Plus, she was a woman, and in the first century, Jews and Romans alike, they did not accept the witness or the testimony of a woman. So, Jesus chose the person who, it might seem, was totally not qualified to do the job. She was a woman, she'd had a history of mental illness, and she'd been working in a very bad way and had been a sinner, and people knew her as a sinner. But Jesus thinks, no, she's the first one. Not to his mother, he didn't appear first to his mother, not nor to anyone else, but to Mary Magdalene. So she was to be the first witness, the first preacher. So if we feel that I'm too young or I'm not the right person, well, that is exactly the kind of person that Jesus uses. So she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, by this dodgy Mary Magdalene, they disbelieved. And after these things, Jesus was manifested in another form to two of them as they walked on their way into the countryside. And they went away, and they told it to the rest, who did not believe them either. So when you go and tell people the good news that Jesus has risen, you will find also that a lot of people will disbelieve. And later, Jesus was manifested to the 11 themselves as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they didn't believe those that had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "You are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." It's no good just believing. We can't just drift around thinking one day, yeah, I believe, the next day we don't. We have to make this concrete decision to be baptized into his death and resurrection. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that disbelieves will be condemned. Now, Jesus has just told them off because they disbelieved. He had rebuked them for their unbelief or disbelief. So now they're to go and tell everybody, if you disbelieve like we did, you'll be condemned. So they would have done that with great humility. And it's humility God values more than anything else. And if you're going to tell someone else the gospel, they're not going to believe you if you're proud. But if you come over as humble and recognize that, you know, I also didn't believe this, and when I should have done, that is very persuasive to the people we talk to. Persuasive, it means that they're likely to believe us. If we say, look, I myself was very weak and I also didn't believe when I should have done. And Jesus goes on, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons," that is, they'll cure mental illness like Mary Magdalene was cured. "They will speak with new languages, they will pick up snakes, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them." It's just what happened to Paul on his missionary journey when he was on Malta. That deadly viper got onto his arm, but didn't hurt him. "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, it seems that those miraculous gifts were given just in the first century. They were given to help the church to get established. For example, on the day of Pentecost, there was all those different people there, thousands of them, and Peter and the apostles could speak in their languages, and everyone was amazed. Wow, these people are speaking in my native language. As there were people from every nation under heaven, it says, who came to Jerusalem to keep the feast. And so they didn't have any New Testament. The New Testament wasn't written then. They didn't have anything to back up their message. And so therefore God gave them these powers. But once the church was established, those gifts have gone away. And you don't see people speaking in foreign languages, that is, languages that people understand, in the preaching of the gospel today, unless they've gone and studied and learnt those languages. And I don't believe that you really see people curing people like they did in the first century, raising the dead, a man with no leg suddenly gets a leg, and this kind of thing. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen.